The Mystery of the Great Escape.
Finally, after all my talk about Jack Kerouac and all that, I'm on the road. June 12th, it's 12:30. The moon is almost full, and all I can smell are pine trees. No French fries, exhaust fume stench wafting up from grates in the road, no soot, no sirens, no Toronto. Off there, in the dark somewhere, about 200 miles away. And fading.
Hey, Walker. Where are you now?
Yo, Adrian.
Yo, Rocky.
I just dropped off Irving at Bradalbin and Bay. You know what Irving just told me?
How good-looking you are.
No, not tonight. I wonder why. No, he told me that all the gay strolls in all the capital cities in Canada are within sight of the Parliament buildings. Makes you think, doesn't it?
Not really.
Makes me think.
I'd just as soon not know that stuff. Got a fare. Lucky's Restaurant, Queen and Broadview.
Krista Papadopoulos. We'd been going together for about 4 months. She even lived at my place for a while, and then she got her own apartment. My room over the pawn shop on Church Street, it was 3 flights up, no elevator naturally, and Krista uses a wheelchair most of the time. Even on crutches, the climb was too much for her, so it was stupid, I guess. I mean, I had to be there all the time to carry her up, carry her down. She hated it. She didn't hate it at first because it got her away from her parents, and we were crazy for each other, too. I'm not saying she planned it or anything. But anyway, when my place didn't work out, she got her own apartment, Kingston Road, ground floor. At first, I went over there and visited her a lot. Once in a while, she'd come over to my place, too, and it felt to me like we were losing it. I mean, each other. Our big city arrangement. It was so cool, so planned. It could go on forever until it bored itself to death. I didn't know what I wanted. Just something different. The two of us. Something new.
Hi.
How you doing?
Okay. So, where do you want to go?
Where do you want to go, baby?
Young and Dundas.
You got it.
As it turned out, Krista didn't want to know about a lot of things, or at least think about them, like it was too scary or something. She just wanted to go on the same. She'd say, all this business about wanting something to change, maybe the truth is you just want to be free, which wasn't what I meant at all. Once she said, I don't want to ruin your life. I guess the thing was, we just didn't know what to do about each other.
Hey, Walker.
That's my name. Don't
wear it out. Hey, are you at Broadview and Queen yet?
Yeah, just picked up.
Where to?
Young and Dundas.
Wrong way. Okay, I'll give this one to Mario.
Okay.
Okay. And don't forget, you've got a standing order at 425 Kingston Road, apartment 102. Later.
Just standing?
We'll see. Love you.
Jeez.
Love you? Is that what she said?
Yeah.
Do you hear that, babe?
Yeah!
She loves the guy. Hey, driver. I love you, too.
What?
I half turned to see what this guy was on about, but all I could see was a sawed-off shotgun.
So I don't want to blow your head off, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. Changed my mind.
What about?
Jeez. I don't want to go to Young and Dundas.
So we didn't. We turned on a side street south of Queen instead, then another one, and then down a narrow laneway full of dilapidated garages. Suddenly, life didn't seem so boring anymore.
Pull up.
Oh, here. Get out, babe.
Okay, sweetie.
Listen. I've got like close to $100 here. See? So, it's yours. Take it and like I'm gone, okay? I don't even have a good memory. I don't even know where I am, so. Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, I gotta go.
Okay. Move. And there'll be brains all over the windshield.
No kidding. Meanwhile, Babe was struggling with the garage door. It opened, swung up, and she moved aside.
What's your name?
Walker.
What, you're not sure?
No, it's Walker.
Joey. Driving the garage, man.
I don't see why I gave you my money. I don't have anything else.
Shut up!
Right.
I backed up a little and swung the car into the garage. In the rearview mirror, I could see the woman, frail and slim, pulling down on the rope, and then the door slowly dropped behind me.
Are you scared?
Who, me? I just don't know what's going on. I mean, what's the reason? I just don't get it. Like,
are you scared?
Yeah. I'm scared. I'm scared. Oh, God.
Hey.
What?
Turn on the interior lights. Turn off that motor. We're gonna die in here.
All right.
Hey, Trace.
Hey.
This is Walker. Walker, Trace.
Hi.
Hi.
Better show him your friend, Trace.
Trace, her face pale, her eyes enormous shadows, sat beside me on the front seat, reached into the pocket of her nylon jacket and pulled out a dainty, silver-plated revolver. She brought it up in line with my eyes, sweat glistening on her face now. She looked sick.
22, long, mushroom. Get it?
Yeah.
So call up your cab company and give me the speaker.
Yeah.
Krista. Hey, Krista.
Hey, Walker. So where are you now?
Give it to me.
Walker.
Hi, lover.
What? Walker.
No, it's not Walker. Joey.
What's going on? Where's...
Shut up and listen.
Walker!
Listen! You listening?
Where is Walker?
Do you want him dead? Do you hear me? Do you want him dead?
No!
Okay, then listen. 3 o'clock a.m. sharp, I'm going to call back, and you're going to have whoever owns this cab company, Mr. Moneybags... You're gonna have him there, ready for me to talk to. Right?
Yes.
Good girl. You know your friend's in serious trouble, eh?
Don't hurt him.
No, I don't want to hurt him. I don't. Honest. But if you tell the cops, you talk to anybody but the boss, if you screw up, honey, his brains are gonna look like spaghetti, okay? 3 o'clock.
Can I talk to him?
One word.
Walker? Walker, are you there? Walker?
Hi.
Are you all right?
That's one. Turn it off.
Walker, are you...
So, 3 o'clock. Let's go in the house.
Yeah.
Make yourselves comfortable.
Went out the back door of the garage, Trace leading the way, then me, Joey behind me. Walked through knee-high grass towards a tall, narrow, pitch-black house looming up in the dark. A rain, light as mist, began to fall. Great. She unlocked the back door and turned on the light in the kitchen, up the stairs, down a hall, and into a bedroom. The overhead light flared on, windowless. Yellow wallpaper beginning to peel. An iron bed. Mattress.
He's stand real still, man. Don't move. Do it, Trace.
And a chain. One end was looped around the frame of the bed and padlocked. The other end, Trace, looped around my neck, her eyes blooming like two dark flowers, her breath cool against my face like a mother fixing a kid's tie, and padlocked it against my throat.
Can you breathe?
Yeah.
You okay?
Oh, yeah.
It's done, man! It's done!
Joey put down the shotgun, picked up Trace, and spun her around the floor.
Dun, dun, dun.
And spun her and spun her and held her. Meanwhile, I stood there and felt like somebody's Sunday dinner, tethered.
Okay.
The main course.
Shh, shh. Okay, settle down. Settle down. Settle down.
Okay. Now you watch him. I'll be right back.
You can sit down. On the bed, if you like. Not much of a bed.
Yeah. If you do this a lot, you should get a better bed.
Trace stared at me for a moment. Then she smiled. It was amazing. A slow, wide, lopsided smile, and the hollow, pinched face was gone. Even her eyes had a light in them.
He won't hurt you. Just do what he wants. Agree with everything, okay?
What does he want?
He wants out.
Out of what?
Everything. You name it. He's straight. When he gets straight, he wants to run, because then things can change. Everything bright and beautiful, you know?
So he's straight now?
Oh, yeah. Straight as an arrow.
Okay, everybody. Just relax, okay? Cool is the word. These things are in the fridge. They're cool. We're cool. It's like 1:45. We got over an hour to wait. Here, Trace.
Thanks.
Walker, catch.
Oh. Thanks.
Just slide down the floor, baby. Relax. Okay, a toast. To Walker. For being such a good sport.
Come on, Joey, don't tease.
I'm not teasing him. I mean it.
No, yeah. I mean, it's okay. Like, you know, if you're going to be kidnapped and chained up, it's really great to have a beer.
You see, this kid, he's like, I don't know. He just hangs in real good. You hang in real good.
Thanks. So, what are your plans? I mean, what are you going to do?
What?
Nothing. I'm just wondering.
Just drink your beer, man.
Right.
Tell him what we're going to do, Trace.
Relax, Joey. Like you said. Got a cigarette?
Tell you what we're not gonna do here. We're not gonna fence anymore. We're not gonna deal anymore. We're not gonna get used anymore. How's that?
Great.
We're not gonna live like dogs anymore. We're not gonna be scared and hungry and sick. We're not going to be worked over by cops anymore. And we're not going to trash ourselves anymore. We're not going to feel like...
Got it?
Yeah, like we're gunk and crap in the bottom of anybody's shoes.
Joey, come on.
Show him your arms, Trace. Go on, show him your arms. You know what you're looking at?
Yeah.
A year from now... All that bruising will be gone, man. All those tracks will be gone, and you won't see a thing.
That'll be good. That'll be really good.
Yeah. I'm sorry, baby.
It's okay.
Singapore.
Singapore?
God.
Yeah, it's like this island in the South Pacific.
It is?
It's an island. It's like this big city on an island. 2.5, almost 3 million people. You don't need a lot of money to live there. It's growing like crazy. The weather's great. I've seen pictures of it. I read up on it. It's got skyscrapers. It's got all kinds of funny little streets. And people from all over the world live there. But most of them are like...
Malaysian.
It's like a big seething pot. You go there, you're a tourist. And you get lost. You start a business. It could be anything. As long as it's clean. And you live by the beach. Oh, and the sunshine all day. When the moon comes up, it covers half the sky.
Joey, you just told him where we're going.
So what?
So we sat in the room and talked, drank beer, and talked. Joey went through 5 beer just as easy as breathing, and I tried to keep from shaking. I was so scared. And Joey talked about Singapore and Canada, coast to coast. They'd been everywhere. And Trace, nursing her beer, closing her eyes, nodded and nodded. And then it was almost 3 o'clock.
Now put your chin up.
Trace undid the padlock, her eyes kind of glazed over now, and put the key in her pocket. Krista, are you there?
Walker, is everything okay?
Give it to me.
Walker?
Hey, it's 3 o'clock, bitch. Where's the boss man?
He's here.
Well, put him on, come on.
I'm here.
Hey, how you doing? It's kind of wet out, eh?
Not a nice night.
What do you mean, not a nice night? What the hell's going on? Are you crazy?
Alfonso!
Yeah, I'm crazy. Good point. Remember that. So hope you haven't called the cops. I mean, hope you're all alone there.
I'm all alone, yeah. What do you think? It's 3 o'clock in the morning.
Now listen, I got your driver, Walker, right? Got your cab, right? You can have them both back. $40,000.
$40,000?
Yeah, that's like $8,500 bills, unmarked. I'll give you till 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. You sit in a cab, corner of Bay and Adelaide. Young lady, she'll tap on your window, and you will give her the money in a plain brown envelope. Sometime in the afternoon, she'll call me, and if she hasn't been followed, I will leave your driver and cab in a secure place. And I'll send you a telegram tomorrow where to find them. You got that?
Yeah. How much just for the cab?
Alfonso, what?
I'm kidding, okay? I mean, this is a joke, right?
Joke?
Where am I gonna get $40,000?
You want a joke? I will cut this kid up so bad, he will look like he's been turned inside out. Funny, eh? Ha, ha, ha.
Okay. $40,000. That's all right, we can do that. No cops, no anything. We can do it, okay?
Yeah. Okay. I want to hear the boss man say okay.
Yeah, okay. Just don't hurt nobody. Like it's only money, right?
Right. Turn it off. You got some boss there, man.
Yeah. He'll do it, though. He'll get your money and he won't say anything. He's just like that.
I think it went good, eh, Trace?
Yeah, it sounded okay.
It went good. It went good, yeah. Wow, eh, this is a rush, eh, man?
Yeah.
Singapore. Oh, man. I shouldn't have told you we were going to Singapore.
I didn't hear it. Joey sat there, leaning up against the back of the front seat, his chin resting on his shotgun pointed straight at me. And for the longest moment ever, just contemplated me.
Come on, Joey. Let's get in the house.
Trace, her little silver revolver glinting in her hand, headed for the back door of the garage. Joey got out of the back seat. I came around from the driver's side, crossed in front of the car to the garage door, and just as Trace passed me, grabbed her arm and held her against me.
Oh, Joe! Joe!
What? Did you let go of her? I'm warning you. Let her go! You let her go!
I dragged her backwards around the car a little ways, lifting her off the ground.
It's gonna be okay, Trace. You let her go!
Go!
Damn it!
Okay. There. I didn't want to hurt you, Trace. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna kill you right now.
It's okay, Joey. Leave him.
No!
Listen. I'm scared, okay? I'm scared. What do you expect? This is not like some picnic, right?
Joey, come on. Someone will hear us. Come, baby, come on. Come.
Joey looked at me. Only the lights from the cab's parking lights on in the garage. Everything glowing yellow. Everything silent except for the rain. And then he smiled. They left the light on in the bedroom, put the chain back on my neck, bolted the door shut, and left me alone. I sat on the edge of the bed for a moment, listened. Footsteps receding down the hall. Rain. Then I felt under my belt. The key to the padlock that I'd lifted from Trace's pocket out in the garage was still there. There was nothing in the room except the bed and a small closet. And on the one wall, right behind where Trace had been sitting, a faint rectangular shape under the wallpaper, where a door had been. I waited for about an hour. The house was still silent. And then I unlocked the padlock, took an empty beer bottle, forced the neck through the plaster board where the old door had been blocked in, just quarter-inch board. The bottle ground its way through easily enough. And hooked my fingers through the hole and broke off pieces until my fingers burned, until I had an opening as wide as my shoulders, then forced the bottle through the plasterboard on the other side, harder, pushing away from the frame, broke through, waited. Silent. Then slowly broke off pieces again, quieter this time, until my fingers were raw, until I could wriggle through the hole into the darkness of the next room. The door to the hallway was half open. A window gleamed in the rain. No furniture. Nothing. Joey and Trace traveled light. I eased out into the hallway. Joey was lying on the floor in front of my door asleep. He either hadn't gone downstairs at all or he had come back. I hadn't heard him. But now, his head resting against his arm, the shotgun resting between his knees, he was asleep. So I turned, crept down the stairs, could see the back door, made for it. Trace was standing in the kitchen. By the stove, one of the elements was glowing red, and she was holding a spoon over it. She turned, looked at me. The sleeve on her left arm was rolled up past the elbow. She just stood there, looked at me. Then she said,
"Please, don't go."
And she looked at me, and her eyes burned right through me, and I was gone. Running, falling in the long wet grass, getting up, running, one leap over the fence, down the laneway, running down the middle of the street, running.
You sure you want to?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay.
Inspector Kiss, my friend. He was with Krista and Mr. Piattelli all the time. He was the one who told Mr. Piattelli to just be himself. It was almost a fatal mistake. As soon as I'd found a phone booth and called in, Inspector Kiss had the cops at the house in about 20 minutes. A SWAT team. Searchlights, loudspeakers, the whole thing. Nobody knew if they were still in there or whether they'd slipped out. The cab was still in the garage. until Mr. Piatelli arrived and drove it away. And Krista arrived, nearly hugged me to death, and tried to pull me away, but I stayed. And as soon as it was dawn, the cops went in.
Okay, Walker, down here.
It was the third bedroom, across the hall from the bolted door, only a mattress on the floor. I'd gotten the bedstead, the executive suite. And Trace, cradled on Joey's chest, as peaceful as a baby, a hole in the side of her head. Please, don't go.
Please, don't go.
You okay?
Yeah. Yeah. The silver revolver. 22, long, mushroom. Lay on the mattress between them.
Double suicide. Terrific, huh?
Joey had used the shotgun on himself. French fries, exhaust fumes, noise, stench wafting up from the grates. I just had to get out. I told Krista. She sat in her apartment, silent for a long moment. All her furniture, things, her job at Mr. Piatelli's. Then she turned to me and asked me where I was going. I just said, west. And she said,
Walker, can I drive?
Nice here. Pine trees. Krista is asleep right behind me, in a tent, curled up in her new sleeping bag like a little kid. She gave up her apartment. We've got enough money between us to get out to the coast. And then we'll see. We'll get jobs. My mother thinks I'm crazy. Her father thinks I'm crazy, and that she's gone crazy too. But I guess what we've both decided, life, it's not like it's a permanent situation. So what's the problem? We know what we want, and we know better than anyone the only real thing we have to lose.
Walker, turn off that stupid lantern and come to bed. I'm lonely.
What a team.
You have just heard the concluding episode of Midnight Cab, The Mystery of the Great Escape, written by James W. Nichol. Featured in the cast were David Ferry as Walker and Jacqueline Samuda as Krista, with Howard Jerome as Piatelli and Neil Monroe as Inspector Kiss. Special guest stars this week were Kim Coates as Joey and Linda Griffiths as Trace. Music for the series is composed and conducted by Milan Kimlicka. The series' casting consultant is Linda Grierson, and the production assistant is Nancy Dow. The recording engineer is Joanne Anka, with sound effects by Matt Wilcott. Midnight Cab is produced and directed in Toronto by Bill Howell.